Okay, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the Monday Night Hashkafa Shmooze. Tonight's topic that we're going to speak about is the issue of the sense of entitlement that board members or donors or even just people who like to yell and scream a lot, preferential treatment that they may or may not get, not only in our yeshivas and our shuls and our yeshivas and organizations, whatever you might have. You know, this issue that there's a sense of entitlement that certain people want to get special treatment over other people. My dear Talmud, some of you know Rabbi Bashevkin. He's a famous guy, and he talks about gvir culture, right? He has this thing about gvir culture that we live in a society that respects the people who have a lot of money. They're the ones on the boards. And they get to make the decisions, the gvirim. Dr. Pelkovitz likes to talk about, you know, the flu. The official word for the flu is influenza. So he talks about affluenza, that in a lot of our communities we have affluenza, which is this illness that people who are affluent, people who are rich, think that they can make decisions, they can tell people how to act, they could tell people what they should be doing. And they expect preferential treatment. If I'm giving you all my money, so then I deserve to have more of a say than the next guy into how your school's being run. As a matter of fact, today's Daf Yomi. I'd like to read you two lines from today's Daf Yomi. Two lines. Sota Daf Mem Zayin. Misharabu Matile Maloy Albale Batim. When judges that are in business with the wealthy people, once a lot of judges started doing business with the wealthy people, Rabba Hashochad Vatayas Mishpat, it caused bribery and distortion and perversion of justice. Upaska Tova. Misharabu Mikableni Tovaso Mechazkeni Tovosecha. When there was a proliferation of judges that say to the Balei Din, oh, you know, I know you, you did me favors. And I'm going to do you favors. Rabu Isha Yashabein of Yaseh. If the judges are being bought off by the businessmen, so then everybody does whatever they want because there's no fear. Less than less nine. Shvalim hugbu vagvorm hushpalu. The people that are low become high. The people that are high become low. Malchus azla v'navla. And similarly, the Gemara says also in today's Daf Yomi, Misharabu roi panim badin. People who try to curry favor. Batel lo saguru mipneish. There's a pasuk in the Chumash. Lo saguru mipneish. You're not allowed to be afraid of the rich people. Upasak lo sakir panim b'mishpat. You're not allowed to show favoritism to some people. Uparko ol shamayim v'nasa oleim ol basav adam. We get rid of the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it ends up having a yoke of people. So this is not a new problem. This is a problem that's as old as the hills. Lo saguru mipneish. And I know that there are some schools and shuls where the wealthy people get their way, and it's terrible. It's terrible where the wealthy people get their way. I happen to work in a pretty wealthy neighborhood. That's at least the stereotype of the neighborhood that I live in. I don't know if the stereotype is true or not. I don't know if there's more wealthy people in the five towns than there are in Teaneck. I never really did a study. I don't know, but the reputation is what the reputation is. And I can tell you that this issue in the yeshiva that I've been part of has been a complete non-issue in our yeshiva. It's been a complete non-issue. You know, 99% a non-issue. And I really think that that is a credit to the lay leadership of our yeshiva who gets this. They get this idea. They get it. Just because I'm the president doesn't mean I get to have my kids in the classes that he wants. And just because I'm the president doesn't mean my kid. No, we treat all the kids the same. I don't know in most cases which kids are the rich kids and which kids are the not rich kids. I don't even know. I don't know who's on scholarship and who's not on scholarship. Everybody has the same. We try to put the kids in the classes that are the best classes for them. Do I give the wealthy people, they get the best rebbes? I remember that Rabbi Zev Meir Friedman, who's the He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Rambam. It's another yeshiva in our neighborhood. So I was talking to him about the fact that my children were going to start going to my yeshiva. It was the first time when my son Binyamin, who was going to be in our yeshiva, so Rabbi Freeman said, your biggest challenge is not going to be that you're going to be giving him things that he doesn't deserve. Your biggest challenge is that you're going to be withholding from him things that he really does deserve, because everyone's going to think that the reason he got it was because he's your son. So your biggest challenge is going to be that you're not going to end up giving him what he does deserve. He was right. He was right. You know, when you're the principal, you go out of your way to make sure no one's going to say, oh, this guy got it because he's rich. This guy got it because he's related to the principal. I like to tell people, everybody always complains about who makes the team, right? They think the rich board members' kids, they're the ones who make the team. So I always shut that up like really easily by saying, there was a year that I had a son who was a senior and a son who was a junior, and a lot of the people on this call know exactly what I'm talking about. And the junior was on the junior varsity basketball team, and he was trying out for the varsity as a junior. And the senior is 6'4", and he was the MVP of his camp basketball league the summer before, and they're both trying out for the team. And the coach is my father's first cousin, and I'm the principal, and guess what? Neither of them made the basketball team. And one of them was very upset. The other one, like, just shrugged it off, but one of them was very upset. He was crying when he got home. He didn't make the team. So you can't run the school with protexia. You can't run the shuls with protexia. You can't do that. You got to have the same rules for everybody. And by the way, it's not only about the people who have money. It's also, you know what a worse problem is than the people who have money? The people who scream the loudest. You have some people who don't have money. They just call you every single day. Put my kid into that shiur. Put my kid into that math class. Put my kid... And they just scream at you. They just keep wearing you down. You're turning my kid off to Judaism because you're giving him a Rebbe. That's not good for him. And this Rebbe's turning him off from Judaism. Rabbi Sai, even the Yankees don't have an all-star in every position. It's not. You know, you got to have great Rebbes. You got to try to match up which kids are going to do best in which year. And the amount of money that the guy has cannot play a role in who gets which year and who gets which teacher and who gets which honors or awards. In DRS, the kids with the top averages, they're the ones who get the awards. Now, it's very nice that... Now, how come I've been blessed with this? I've been blessed with this because the presidents and the most involved board members never play the game like that. There are some schools where the president does play that game. There are some schools where the president walks into the principal's office and says, guess what? You know that math teacher you have? Tomorrow morning, he's no longer your math teacher. There's schools like that. There are schools like that. Not in my school. In my school, the board members, the president can only fire one person. Me. That's the only person they can fire. I get to fire everybody else. That's the way a school is supposed to run, and that's the way it does run. It's not quite as simple as what I'm saying, but that's the upshot of what it is. There are some schools. So how do you have strong leadership? So first of all, you have to have balabatim who get it and who understand that that's not their purview. So we've been blessed to have those kind of balabatim at our school. How do you become a leader that does not kowtow to this culture of the wealthy people? You have to be a strong leader. You have to be a humble leader. You have to know how to talk to the rich people, that you're giving them kavod, you're giving them honor and respect, you're hearing them out, and you're dealing with the situation as best as you can. But they're not going to get any preferential treatment over anybody else. They're not going to get it. I don't care how much money you give to the school. To our yeshiva once was asking me to change his kid's math grade. Because he felt it, not just time to change it, because he felt it was unfair. And he had five or six meetings with me over this math grade, telling me that it was unfair. I said, I'm sorry, but that's the grade that the teacher gave. I can't change the grade. No can do. That's not honest. And I will not go down that road. That's not okay. I don't care how much money you give to the school. I have to have standards. And at the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, this guy understood. This guy understood. He understood. He did it in a very respectful way. He wasn't inappropriate at all. He had a lot of meetings just. But he understood it. And Baruch Hashem, we're still very close. At that time. So he understood it because you could raise issues, you could listen, you have to be respectful. So strong leaders have to be humble. Strong leaders build consensus. Strong leaders go out of their way to do things for other people. They give of their own time. They give of their own koiches. Strong leaders take on the difficult jobs, not only the glorious ones. So tonight we had a parent council meeting. So who was cleaning up the meeting after all the parents left? Me. I was cleaning up the meeting. I was putting away the food. I was cleaning up the. I didn't say like I've been a principal for 25 years, some 26 years. Maybe somebody else should clean it up. No, you got to get involved. Strong leaders take on the difficult jobs, not just the glorious ones. I think that the way a strong leader develops a good connection with his rich balabatim is that he's there for them, he listens to them, he gives them kavod, he respects them. It's not easy to give a lot of money to a yeshiva. And it's a tremendously respectable, a yeshiva can't exist without these people. It's tremendously respectable. You have to know how to handle them. You have to know how to talk to them. You have to know how to respect them, but they can't run the show. And that's really up to the lay leadership to stand behind the rabbi of the shul, the school, whatever it is. You have to stand behind these people and respect the position. And that is the way that's best for everybody. Any questions, any thoughts, any pushback? Yes, Reuven Zachariah. I mean Zachariah Reuven.
No, this is right. I really got it right the first time.
Reuven Zachariah, sorry.
Yeah. All good. Thank you, Rebbe. I was Rebbe had an interesting line just now. Rebbe said that like it doesn't mean they should run the show. I was wondering what Rebbe was mostly speaking about now in terms of preferential treatment for kids or ask them to do favors. But what about the fact that there's a predominant like trend in our community, and Rebbe, I think, touched on this, that the rich people are the ones who are given the president. They are the ones who are given the board positions all the time. And is that a good thing? I think also Rabbi Sheskin touches on this. Is that a good thing? Should it be that just because you make the most money, you should be making the decisions in school, or should that like also be detached from money to a certain extent?
That's a great question. It's a great question. It does not have a simple answer, but let me try to answer you like this. First of all, I think boards should have both. You should have rich people and not rich people. I think that's okay. Different schools have different, criteria. But I do think you need the rich people there also, and because the primary role of a board is to take financial responsibility for the school. They have to take the financial responsibility, which means they got to either give the money or raise the money. But the one thing that the board is supposed to be responsible for is the financial viability of the school. That is totally their purview. The board decides how to spend the money. The board decides how much money, tuition and how much, and the board has to raise the money. So you need rich people there because rich people attract other rich people to give money to places. And when the wealthy people are involved, it's it's a tremendous support. And the more people get involved, the more they're going to donate to it. And it's, if you don't really have a say, then why in the world would you contribute to a place? So it's, you know, when you contribute, you like to know that your money is in the, that you have a say in how your money is being spent. But I do agree that boards should not exclusively be made up of the money people. Like if there were no rich people on our board, I don't think the school would function financially. I just don't think it would, because the people who don't have money don't have connections to money and don't know how to raise the money. And, you know, they're, you know, so you need people who have money to, it takes a lot of money to run these institutions. So I think you need the money people there. That you just have to try to find money people who are also tremendously erlich and fine and humble, and people who get it, who don't mind giving their money, but not having their voice be the one that carries the day all the time. They don't have it. They aside from financial responsibility for the school, board members have no say on how a school runs. Zero. They don't decide any educational policy. They don't decide who gets hired. They don't decide who gets fired. They don't decide the curriculum. They don't decide the extracurricular activities. They don't decide anything about the school. The board has one responsibility, that the school is financially solvent. And they also have a say in how the money gets spent. They do have a say in how the money gets spent. But that's it. No educational. Now, again, how the money gets spent does affect the education a little bit. So there's a little push and pull there. But boards are supposed to be in charge of money. Anybody else? Akiva Menachem Leib.
What should a leader do if a board member does threaten the school? Like, that they're just going to pull out, or they just won't fund the school?
If a board member would come to me and say, fire this Rebbe, or I'm leaving the school, I would say leave the school. You know, if I don't think the Rebbe deserves to be fired, and someone makes me fire a Rebbe, I'm going to leave that for now. If there are legal issues, I'm going to leave that out. Just stop. The guy says he's no good, fire him. And if you don't fire him, I'm going to fire you. Or he says, if you don't fire him, I'm going to leave the board. I will say to him, leave the board. And I will say, honestly, if it's a guy who says, fire him or I'm going to fire you, I'm going to say, that's not the way the school works. This is not the right school for me to be involved in. You guys don't know how to run a school. And I'm going to have to go find a different place to work. It's not supposed to, you talk to anybody who knows anything about boards. And there are some schools that function like that. And, you know, you got to try to train the Balabatim how to be good Balabatim. And if you have a strong leader who people respect, hopefully you can train the Balabatim how to be good Balabatim. But it's not the purview of Balabatim to hire. And when you get hired in the beginning, you got to make that clear. Because when you get hired in the beginning, you got to make that clear that it's not in the purview of the board. The board is supposed to hire and fire only one person, the head of school or the rabbi. That's what the board is supposed to hire and fire. But all the other employees work for the head of school. That's the way a school is supposed to operate. They have no say. They can give you feedback. They can tell you that they think the guy should be fired. But it's not their decision to hire and fire. That should be set up from the beginning in the contract. It should be written in the principal's contract that the board has no right to hire and fire people. Any last points that you want to add? Anybody else? Gabe, you recovered? All right. Everyone should have a good night. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks so much, Abby.
Thank you, Abby.